What happens now?
What happens now?
How will I cope?
How will I cope? Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer to people you know. You just want to talk to someone who knows how you feel. That's why I joined the Macmillan online community. We know what it's like because we're living with cancer too. And whatever's on your mind, we're here to help. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
From Wondery and Audible comes Class of 88, a new podcast hosted by Will Smith. Before 1988, a lot of people didn't take hip-hop seriously. But hip-hop today touches everything, from film to fashion to sports. So what changed? Follow Class of 88 wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to What Crappens, the podcast for all the crap we love to talk about. On ye old brav, that's where. I'm Ronnie. With me today is the gorgeous and talented and good-hearted Ben Mandelker. Ben, hello. Welcome to your show.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
How's good. How are things up in Katona, New York?
Oh, my God. They're freezing cold. Freezing cold. I am here. My feet have been cold for about five straight days now. I'm really looking forward to just someplace that's warmer for my feet. But other than that, it's been really wonderful. It's great to be home. Great to see my parents. Great
to be drinking some
Dunkin' Donuts. You know, cold brew. Even though I'm freezing, I still drink my cold brew. I don't care. And, you know, all is good. What's going on with you?
Good. Nothing. I just feel like a really strong person because I went to the Botox lady today and I was supposed to get a microneedling. I feel like this is my safe space because it's Beverly Hills Day and, you know, rubber face. So feel safe. And I actually said, you know what? I'm going to skip the microneedling today because I feel like my skin is too thin.
Wow.
I feel like I have tissue paper for skin and I think I'm officially going to step back for a little while. And they were like, oh, is it something we did? And I was like, no, it's something you're doing too much of.
Oh, wow.
It's really difficult when you're suddenly gorgeous. Let me tell you, you can't just start walking into Home Goods just suddenly being gorgeous. It's too much too soon. So I said, lady, back the fuck off. And she said, you know what? So we're not doing the Botox? I said, no, get your ass back in here with the Botox. Okay. Everything else you were going to shoot me up with that. Okay. But, you know, the face, no, I'm going to go with my own facial oils for a while. What do you think of that?
Wow. Well, your skin looks resplendent as usual. And I mean, I'm surprised there has not already been a spinoff Facebook group dedicated to your skin and your face at this point.
Skin journey.
Because it is a popular topic of conversation on social media.
It is.
And in all our comments. So you're doing great work. The people
love it.
They love your face. And, you know, I'm sure there's someone out there that likes my face too. I don't know. But
they love your face. They're just used to you being gorgeous, darling. It's not new. It's nothing new, Ben.
Okay. No, I do nothing for my face, so I don't know why I would ever expect any sort of compliment about my face, because you actually take care of your face. I don't. So I would not expect anything until I actually start putting stuff on.
Well, you've
my
already
face.
Been the hot one. It's like Gigi it's like Gigi Hadid suddenly expecting Barely. A compliment. Like you've been a supermodel.
No,
I'm just
definitely
kissing
not.
Up, darling. All right, so this isn't about how gorgeous we are.
You're very gorgeous.
That's what I did today. You know what? We're here to share our lives. No, just kidding. We're here to trash other people's. But guess what? We do have coming up in our real life, the Crappy Awards, the Golden Crappy Awards. We're so excited. February 17th, Los Angeles live show, huge theater, huge people, huge show, huge times coming up. You can come see us live. We would love that. You can also watch us online on the internet. Get your live streaming tickets for that now, right now. God damn it. And we'll be doing that as well. That's a fun party online. Everybody goes in there, trash talks and stuff for the whole show. And you can watch that for up to a week after the show. So do that. We're also on video today. Hi.
Hi.
You can get these videos the day they're released over on our Patreon, which is also where you get our bonus episodes. This week is a recap of Southern Hospital. And Also, you can get the videos for free over on YouTube a week after they've been released. But if you want them fresh, listen, you know, we're not trying to gouge you. We're still giving shit away for free over here, okay? But if you do want to give us money, you get quicker recaps on video. And look what you're getting. All of this. Anything else you want to talk about before we dive into this very religious day of recapping? We've got this and we've got Miami, both of which had large chunks take place in chapels.
Big church energy on Bravo for Wednesday night. But only one of them featured a furious dog fight, an actual dog fight, a legitimate fight about dogs. So, but you're going to have to wait till the Miami recap for that, because that was amazing.
This you're going to have to wait for us to talk about throwing chicken breasts in the water as if dogs are fish for the next recap. That'll be coming up tomorrow.
Yeah. You know what I will say about this episode? Like, I'm starting to think, like, I'm liking Erica. Like, she was cracking me up all episode long. I feel like Erica... We've been saying this all season, but I feel like she's arrived for me. Like, she is now more on the like side of the diagram than the dislike side. The needle has moved for me. I think she is hilarious. I think that we're getting real Erica now, where she truly doesn't give a fuck, and she's over people's bullshit, and she's cracking me up. I cannot believe it.
Yeah, you know, when people are new on the show, as an audience, we always have to give them at least a year or two, right? Because the seed is planted, the bitch flower blooms year two. We all know that. And Erica, she's, you know, I'm not saying she's just now entertaining. I mean, Erica's been on the show a long time now, and she's definitely had moments here and there, and she's just had horrible moments. But this is the first year I feel like she's truly herself. She's just been... You know, the first few years, she was her fake persona or whatever she was going for. And then she was her Rinna persona, you know, those two together. And this is the first year that she's been completely ripped down. Like they would say to a remodeled house, we took it down to the studs. I mean, she's been taken down to the studs.
Yep.
And they've restarted Erica.
Yeah.
She's just got that kind of rawness. I mean, she's still completely full of shit. I mean, she wouldn't be on the show if she wasn't. That's a requirement to be on this show, but it's in such a much more fun way. I agree with you.
Yeah,
it's long and short of it. I agree with you.
Yeah, I love the dinner party on this episode. It was so funny how they brought in, like, you know, the intelligentsia of Barcelona, and all the Real Housewives had to sort of be on their best behavior. It's like, if you tell the Real Housewives, oh, Denise Richards is coming over with Camille Grammer, they're just going to, you know, fight and squabble and confront each other at the table. But if you say, oh, like, some esteemed architects are going to come over and an expatriate, they're like, act civilized.
Yeah.
Be polite.
Yeah. Which were they? I mean, I don't know. Another thing I have to say about this season, just as sort of a macro, not the most exciting season. Still, I think it's going to prove that you really do not have to be fighting and screaming and yelling and making up stupid arguments about dumb shit to make a good show. It shows, I think, that these shows really are more about, they're about more than just that, you know, because right. I think the stereotype of these shows, and part of the reason we always say, oh, these shows are boring, is because nothing's happening. A lot of times we even take that to mean, like, no one's fighting about anything. This sucks. No one's fighting about anything here, and it's fucking hilarious. I was dying laughing watching this show.
Yeah.
So good. What a pleasure to just watch a bunch of crazy rich people, or even crazy poor people just wanting to get rich again, you know?
Yeah.
However they're mixing it all together. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I think it's actually a really good season. And also Sutton. I also want to say, I am just fascinated by Sutton's life. And this episode was really a lot about Sutton and her backstory. And like, her life really plays out like it's a book, right? Like, she was a dancer in New York in ballet. And then she gets swept up by this, like, wealthy dude. And she has just like this, she like, even her gay best friend who she's reunited with in Spain, he is like exactly the gay best friend you would see in the movies. Like, this did, and it felt very Vicky Cristina Barcelona. It was just like, Sutton is sort of her own movie, which is kind of amazing. And I love that. You know, I think that's like my dream, is seeing a a middle-aged lady living a movie life.
Yeah, well, listen, they're the only things I still pay to go see. I'll tell you that much. Though I actually didn't see, and this isn't middle-aged, but I missed 80 for Grady.
What 80 for Brady.
80 for Brady. Sorry, I don't understand sports people or why we would put them in movie titles, but there you go. I think that's why I didn't go see it, because those are like four legend ladies, and I was like, Brady? No.
Yeah. I love that cast. I didn't see it because I just feel like I don't see a lot of movies that much anymore. That being said, they looked like they had a great premiere party. Wish we could have been there, but we weren't invited. And so that's my little way of saying,
about how you look at every movie.
I'm like, invite us to movie premieres if you.
We're literally not invited to any movie. I mean, is that really like, you know, I hear that Killers of the Flower Moon is pretty good. Unfortunately, Marty didn't invite us to that one, so they can go fuck themselves.
I love that that's the movie I decided to go after. I was like, you know what? We should get invited to movie premieres. No, because they invited other podcasters and bloggers and stuff. So I'm like, you know what? 80 for Brady.
Welcome to our life.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I got mad about that. You just like, you somehow like triggered something in me where I felt like I needed to like.
We're not invited anywhere.
Let me
tell you why we're not invited anywhere. Because every time we are invited, we're like, oh my God, thank you so much. We go, we have a good time. We take the Tupperware out of our trunks and pack all of the food in it to take home. And then the next day we talk shit about all the people. Okay, that's that might have something to do with it.
Privately to each other in the Uber back. We don't shit on the attendees on our podcasts.
We do. I mean, come on, that's the fun of it. We just kind of go kiss Sally Field's ass. No, but listen, what's the point of going to 80 for Brady if you're not going to go rip Sally Field a new asshole?
You know the way I operate. You know how I come out of those parties being like, oh my God, the way that Mary Elizabeth Mastriantonio passed me that ketchup packet, she is so nice. She was so nice, guys.
You do come out of them like that. And I'm like, Mary Mastriantonio, what a fucking asshole. I've never seen anybody pass ketchup so rudely. Like, who am I to you? Nobody? I can tell by the way you just passed me that ketchup.
Cameraman Field let me cut in front of her at the bar. I was like, she is so down to earth. She's such a down to earth, nice person. I really loved her.
I'm like, Cameron Mannheim, wow, haven't improved that personality since Boston Legal, huh? Stay out of my fucking way, Cameron. Okay, so as far as this show goes, Beverly Hills, which we're recapping today, Crystal has high blood pressure. Join the fucking club, okay? No. I asked Siri why I had it, and she said I ate too much salt. Well, you can go fuck you. You can put yourself in a van with Cameron Mannheim, Sally Fields, and Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio and drive right over the fucking cliff in Spain. That's what I have to say. I'm not giving up my pretzels for anybody.
We're not putting Sally Field in that van. I'll tell you one thing. Those other two, fine. Sally Field is protected status.
Did you know that high blood pressure is a silent killer? That's what they told me today at the Botox place. She's like, Ronnie, you need to take this more seriously. It's a silent killer. I was like, really? Because it's literally blamed for so many deaths. So...
No,
it doesn't seem so silent to me. It seems like it's taking a lot of heat.
My blood pressure's up, and I'm like mad about it because I'm like, I'm just mad about it. I'm like, stop that. I'm, you know, and I'm trying to eat lower, less salt, but there's just like salt everywhere.
There's salt everywhere.
I try to have like a low sodium thing. But there's salt. Everywhere there's salt.
You know what else is everywhere? Peanut M&Ms. Like, you cannot get away. It's like you order a salad, there's peanut M&Ms as the croutons on the salad. Anywhere you go, you order a pizza, there's a side of peanut M&Ms. They're fucking everywhere. I can't get away from them. Mostly because I keep buying them and pouring them all over things.
Yeah. I was going to say, salt and cholesterol. Like, you know what's fucked up? You try to go out and have something low cholesterol, and then you go to the ice cream parlor and you're like, all this ice cream is high in cholesterol. It's just like so fucked up that as I eat this ice cream, like that it's so high in cholesterol. Like, why does it have to be that way? Why can't they like not be this way?
Yeah.
And then I go to the steakhouse and I'm like, this is fucked up. Why is everything so high cholesterol?
I hate when I go to a go-go bar and there's just so many dicks hitting my face. It's horrible. Okay, so Crystal is on the side of the road because she too has high blood pressure, okay? And Anne-Marie, the medic of the group, is checking her out and doing things like saying, squeeze my fingers. Fuck you. What are you going to fart? I don't trust people. I don't trust him.
So Crystal's like, they feel like tingling. These are stroke-like symptoms. So Crystal is like me. She's a hypochondriac, and she has learned the symptoms of stroke, which, you know, I feel like I've learned them at some point, but I always forget them, which I think in some ways is good, because if I actually knew them, I would think I'm having a stroke literally every single day, because I'm such a
hypochondriac. Yeah, don't Google that.
I cannot learn about the symptoms to anything, because then I automatically assume that I have it. Like, it is so bad with me. So,
dude, seriously, I've been walking around for 3 weeks, like, oh, my fucking esophagus. I swear to God.
Oh, my God.
If I could just get a good stretch in my esophagus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I have everything all the time. But apparently I do have high blood pressure and high cholesterol, so I do have those things. Thanks, Crystal. Thanks for giving me that. So,
I've had it since last night, that's for sure. So Dorit's like, she's green. She's sweetie. Her hands are swollen. Is it Halloween? Are you dressed like Picky?
Oh, she's her hands are puffier than PK wearing a foam finger.
I was like, you know, you just described the love of your life, right? It's like Dorit, are you reporting PK missing right now, or are we talking about Crystal being in a van waiting for an ambulance?
Dorit goes to Crystal. She says, "You're supported. Everyone's here. Do not worry." It's like, I don't think she cares about having your support now, Dorit. Her veins are popping out of her skin. I don't think, like, Dorit Kemsley's support is really, a high priority for her right now.
And nothing is going to make me run towards the light like Dorit standing by my side in her fake Chanel, claiming that she supports me, okay? Stay over there. So Anne-Marie is like, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. You're going to lay down, and you're going to, you're going to relax, okay? Because someone's going to come here soon. Nailed it. I'm nailing it. I'm basically in an episode of ER right now. Because everyone for the rest of this episode is like, oh my God, Anne-Marie was so amazing with Crystal. It's like, she told her to lie down. What else do you tell people?
Well, it's funny because she goes, this is like not just like a lay down and drink some ginger ale situation. And then she's like, okay, so lay down.
She literally did that.
So then
she gonna tell her, okay, you know what? You feel like you're about to faint? Do some jumping jacks right now. Like, of course you're going to tell her to lay down. That's literally all you can do. You're on the side of a road, for Christ's sake.
Crystal's like, I'm so sorry, guys. Amory's like, it's not a situation you need to feel sorry about. It's not like, I don't know, claiming that I said I was a doctor when I was a nurse. I mean, you could feel sorry about that, but not this. Don't feel sorry about this. And Dorit's like, Crystal, honey, when you're okay, we'll go sightseeing. We're all going to be here for you. Except, Kyle, where did Kyle go? You know Kyle's down at the Hermes store already. I don't give a fuck about Crystal.
So Anne-Marie is like, yeah, I mean, like, given that Crystal is like repeatedly insulting and degrading my profession, which she never fucking did. She called you a liar. Again, she did not insult nurses. Okay. She insulted you in particular.
Yeah.
Don't make this about all nurses everywhere, ma'am.
Yeah. She goes, the irony of what is happening right now is literally shocking. I give the amount of irony in this situation an 8.5 out of 10. And Anne-Marie's like, and then she says, Crystal's like lying there in the bed, in the van, sort of freaking out. And she goes, okay, everyone, I don't want her to get up and have like a hypertensive crisis of something and then just like stroke out, you know? I'm like, could you like ixnay on like the, scary diagnosis A. What if she's like, I would, don't say that. Crystal's already freaking out. Don't say that if she moves, she's going to have a hypertensive crisis and have a stroke.
Bedside manner. Find it. Okay. Is there a bedside manner store anywhere we can go shopping at? Because you need some. But also, it's funny that she's saying, you know, the irony of her needing me now in my medical professional capacity. Oh my God, she's gonna die. Her head's about to explode. Her head is about to pop off. Okay, here's what we get to do. I'm gonna hit her on the back. Burp it up.
Okay, Crystal, do not move an inch. Otherwise, your arms may literally fall off your body. I'm just telling you right now.
And Carol's like, oh my God, don't talk like that. When she's having an episode and Emery's like, sorry, not that that would ever happen. Not that your head would ever pop off or you'd go knock-kneed suddenly and lose all your hair.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Back in 2020, the FBI claimed to have stopped a wild plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan.
Thank you to the fearless FBI agents bringing these sick and depraved men to justice.
The key to the investigation was an FBI informant whose recordings have never been heard by the public until now.
This is about pointing rifles at politicians and squeezing the fucking trigger.
From Campside Media and Sony Music Entertainment, it's Chameleon, The Michigan Plot. Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Academy is a new scripted podcast that follows Ava Richards, played by HBO's Industries' Myhala Harold, a brilliant scholarship student who has to quickly adapt to her newfound eat-or-be-eaten world. Ava's ambitions take hold and her small-town values break in hopes of becoming the first scholarship student to make the list. Bishop Gray's all-coveted academic top 10, curated by the headmaster himself. But after realizing she has no chance at the list on her own, she reluctantly accepts an invitation to a secret underground society that pulls the strings on campus life and academic success. If she bends to their will, she'll have everything she's ever dreamed of. But at what cost? Academy takes you into the world of a cutthroat private school where power, money, and sex collide in a game of life and death. Follow Academy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Academy early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Cool. Okay, the ambulance is coming. The ambulance is coming! So they come and they take her vitals, and she does have high blood pressure. I'm kind of winning. Not that it's a race, but mine's higher. So I win. Woohoo! What did I win? Hope it's some M&Ms with some salt on top.
I don't know if I feel like I should laugh with long. I'm like, should I? Do I? Yes, and this. So Anne Marie's like,
what can you do? Like, it's not going to go down instantly. I'm taking the pills. Okay, yeah,
that's good. That's good. So, so then Anne Marie
pretzel pills.
By the way, I have to say Anne Marie's bedside manner is better than when I learned I had high blood pressure, because my blood pressure is always sort of like trend like a little high, like a little higher than what it should be, but nothing too crazy. And then I went to the dentist in November, and my dentist, they just take your blood pressure. I guess, I don't know, I just think it's good.
They do that, so, yeah, because they can't give you the numbers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then the dental hygienist goes, do you have high blood pressure? And I was like, yeah, I can run a little bit high. She goes, I mean, you're almost at like stage 2 hypertension. But she like lost her mind. And it was like, it was high, but it was not like a disaster. So then, of course, that made my blood pressure go even higher. And by the time they're like, we'll test you again at the end of the session. And then it was like so high afterwards, because she was like, oh my God, everyone buckle up. He's about to blow. I was like, I was freaking out. It has since lowered, I'm proud to say.
Yeah.
Except as I sit here drinking a enormous atomic bomb size Dunkin' Donuts cold brew, just to make sure I get those numbers right back up again.
First off, what kind of old ladies are we that this is literally how we podcast now?
And furthermore,
we've sat here.
When I did try to go to the 80 for Brady premiere, they said, you can't come in with that blood pressure machine.
How
am I supposed to monitor my blood pressure during this movie? It could be a very
exciting
movie.
With Botox, then we moved into blood pressure, then we moved into 80 for Brady, and back into blood pressure. Wow, we're really something. Hopefully we can get some Matlock references in here.
Sure can.
Watch out.
Sure can.
So Anne Marie offers to go to the hospital with Crystal, but they're like, sorry, you don't have the necessary passes. And she's like, how dare you degrade my profession? So they take her away. And none of that happened. I'm just lying, everybody. It sounded like it could be real.
Also, I want to say one thing really quickly.
Okay.
I know there are going to be some very well-meaning people out there listening to this podcast who are going to hear this discussion and are going to be very concerned for us, and they're going to send an email encouraging us to go to the doctor, et cetera, et cetera. And all I'm going to say is, like, I have been to the doctor. Ronnie's been to the doctor. And if you send an email, you'll probably just make us paranoid and nervous. So please don't email us.
Our laughter comes from utter fear. We know we're in trouble. Both of us know we're in trouble.
We are taking care of it. Don't worry. Ronnie and I obviously have talked about this before, but like we are taking care of it. So like just don't email us because I know someone's going to say, honestly, you guys have to get that checked out because 5 people in my family died from it. So I don't.
No, we know. Yeah, we
don't send me that email.
Yeah, we shouldn't be laughing about it, but we are because that's how we deal with pain.
We're laughing at ourselves.
Also, I'm going to the doctor, Baylor Scott & White. I'm on my way. Okay. Making an appointment. Okay. So
making my way to the doctor. Go on.
That's enough aging us right now. Sutton's like, okay, we're going to let you go, okay? So you can get treated. Then we can all make paella together, which apparently is good for blood pressure, I think.
is paella a good thing for blood pressure? I'm not sure that it is.
But when I'm on death's door, I'm not really worried about making it to your cooking class. You know what I mean? Like that's Sutton's like, don't worry, you're going to live, and you're going to come to my cooking class.
You're going to live, and then tomorrow night we're going to give you salty rice.
Yeah.
So paella class to look forward to. Like, don't go to the light because there's paella on this side. And Crystal, and then Dorit's like, Crystal, I'm sending you a big hug and kisses. Now close your eyes. You just got a pie in the face, courtesy of the cast of Peter Pan Live on Ice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to the chapel real quick. We're going to light a candle in the chapel. And Erica's like, oh, Jesus, I did this shit. I prayed to the saint, all right? I done it. I had a chapel in my goddamn house. Jesus.
And we see flashbacks of that. And then Sutton's like, well, we're all going to do this as a group, okay? So, and Garcelle's like, yeah, maybe don't say shit as much about the church.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, but I had a chapel in my old house. So we see her old house. That chapel was built on the backs of victims. This one's more like
Most chapels, let's be honest.
Listen, I really don't know where I was going with that.
No, I was going to say, was that a functioning chapel? I feel like that was a decommissioned chapel, let's be honest.
I think that was probably in there so they could get some kind of religious deduction on their their taxes, you know? Like, that was, like, part of a religious organization.
Maybe. Maybe Katy Perry's going to come and kick someone out of it and take it over.
You want to prove me wrong? Watch my music videos and see how often I'm on my knees. Oh, nail it. How many prayers do I give?
Anyway, they're going to go to the church, and Dorit's like,
so what did the church ever do to you, Erica?
And she's like, a lot. And, now we see, by the way, Kyle is in this church already, and she's like putting a donation into the box, etc. I'm just curious how much, like, obviously Kyle has converted to Judaism. How much is she still, I don't know what she was before that, but how much is she still Christian? And is she starting to go back to Christianity as she now starts to pull away from Mauricio?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. That's too deep of a question for this show. Fuck.
How about this? What the fuck is up with Kyle's lashes?
Yeah, but thank you. There's a religion I can get behind. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I feel like when she went up to that deposit box, she kind of looked inside. She put something in there. I feel like if we went and looked to see what was in there, it was a picture of her and Morgan Wade that she's going to later accuse the church of trying to spread gossip about her. You know,
I did think it was weird when she tattooed a K onto the box. I was like, whoa. She's like, well, this way you can just like fill in the rest of the letter. You can start any word you want with a K.
She's like drawing a K onto the statue of Jesus's arm. She's like, got you, Jesus.
Anyway, they're talking about church stuff.
Catholicism. And Erica's like, I'm Catholic. Baptism, confirmation, married to the Catholic Church. There's no one here with clean hands. We're all sinners. The wind ain't gone. Sure. We gonna get him? He ain't coming for these sinned bitches, I'll tell you that, but nailed it. I'm back. I'm back, bitches.
See, what's funny is that, like, Erica later on is talking like this, and they're like, oh, this is classic drunk Erica, but this is the morning now. She's not drunk at least as far as we're concerned, as far as we know. So Garcelle's like, well, it's scary for Crystal to go to a foreign country hospital. And Erica's like, I feel so bad.
Really? Try working with your insurance at an American one. Okay. Ooh, I'd much rather, I'd rather be in Spain at the moment during this blood pressure talk, frankly.
Okay, as someone who did once go to a foreign hospital, that would be me. It is not pleasant. I will say it is not. I once went, when I was in France, I had like bronchitis, I guess, but it was bronchitis, but I thought it was pneumonia because it felt just like when I had pneumonia. And so the thing is, in Paris, you can't, you're going to hear the story, Ronnie. In Paris, you can't just like go to the doctor.
Both of us, we're sick people. Like, what is wrong with us? How much of this episode?
I'm trying to give you an international perspective.
Okay.
So I was visiting a friend in Paris. So you can't just like go to a doctor and they can like give you some medicine. You have to go to the pharmacy or if not the pharmacy, then the hospital. So I had to go to the hospital and I was there and I had to wait hours upon hours upon hours. And then they wheeled me down to this like place to do an x-ray that was like in a dark hallway with the lights overhead swinging like a horror movie in an asylum. And then they were like, okay, we're gonna keep you over, it looks like you've got bronchitis and we're gonna keep you overnight. So they put me in like the observation ward or whatever. So they put me in the room and it was this dark room and I was like in a bed and there was like curtains next to me, you know, I was surrounded by curtains, but there were probably about like 20 other people or 30 people. And the lights went out and this is all I would hear. And then there was one guy, this was so
what
French.
What do you expect to hear? A jazz trio? You're in a hospital.
But what made it really unique, what made it feel so French was that there was an old man down, like must have been like four beds away, and he literally kept on doing this all night. Mademoiselle! Mademoiselle! And I was like, this is horrifying and hilarious. And then the next morning I woke up. And it was, that night was the night of the Oscars that the artist won, which was a French movie. And so the doctors came in and they're like, oh, you're American. Oh, Jean so-and-so, big star now, eh? Big star, the artist, big movie, eh? And I was like, I need to get out of here. So yeah, going to a foreign hospital is a unique experience, but I don't think I need to do it again.
Wow. Well, I hope to have my opportunity one time.
Mademoiselle!
Mademoiselle Fonda.
So back to the show. Let's see what's happening here. So Dorit is saying, is it okay if I don't light a candle? And they're like, no, you don't have to light a candle. It's just church. So she tells us that Jewish people don't pray in churches. I can set an intention. It doesn't have to be in a church. It could be out of the church, around the church, but setting an intention. You can do that while you brush your teeth or eat a bag of Doritos as PK does. His intention. Last time I saw PK making an intention as he was eating Doritos, his intention was to eat Doritos.
The PK, unfortunately, much like Crystal, has a hyper intention. So, here's my intention. By the end of the year, I would like to be on ice as a mermaid with Boy George, but he's Captain Hook. And someone has a cream pie, and they've thrown it in my face while I'm singing My Heart Will Go On. I've set the intention.
Everyone's lighting candles and it starts getting darker. So we won't make fun of this part. But Sutton's talking about her father and his suicide and talking about how growing up Catholic, in the Catholic Church, they believe that you do not go to heaven when you die of suicide, which is true. And that's how I was raised too. I don't think the Episcopalians believe that. I don't know. It's funny how religion is because I was always raised that way, that if you die of suicide, that you don't go to heaven because you are wasting the life that God gave you or some horseshit. And then later I told my dad that I said, because someone I know died of suicide. And I was talking to my dad and I said, well, I guess, because, you know, I've still got a lot of resentment. I don't know if you can tell.
Really?
But I said something like, well, I guess he's not going to go to heaven. Huh? Dad? Because, you know, I'm always 13 years old around my parents. And my dad was like, we never said that. That's not even true. We don't believe that. And I was like, since when? Since when don't you believe it? He's like, we've never taught you that suicide victims don't go to heaven. I was like, yes, you do. Why are you acting like this traumatic shit you told me as a kid is just, I'm being made up. Next, you're going to tell me that you never taught me that if people are allowed to be homosexuals, that the next thing we're going to do is allow them to marry a goat. And he said, I never said that. I said, you did. You did. So I guess what I'm saying is, the rules are just fucking rewritten all the time. And even seeing these people talk about church for 5 minutes has set me into a complete fucking tailspin.
And I'm the bad guy because I want to go to the 80 for Brady premiere.
Well, if Jesus didn't hate us so much for being gay, maybe he would have made that possible. So they've tried. They pray and stuff. So then Erica is saying, my intentions are life and to pick up and rebuild, move forward and be prosperous and get those fucking earrings back from whatever poor person is trying to get their greedy little nubby little hands all over them.
But I'm still hurt that no one has really come over to me and said, hey, apologize.
We see a headline. Reality blurb. Erica Jane wins appeal over $750,000 earrings after the earrings were auctioned off to repay victims of Tom. Okay, so guess where I am right now?
Are you watching the video of Erica sitting down with the victims?
Nope. I am on the Bravo Dockets Instagram.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Because Erica's just so full of shit, I can't with her.
I knew it. When this came up, I was like, okay, here, pause for Ronnie to get...
Come on. You know, talk about rewriting history. My dad doesn't get to say that he never taught me that being gay was akin to people being able to marry goats. And you cannot just say that you won back these years. It's rewriting history, and I will not have it. So according to the Bravo Docket, which is a great podcast and great Instagram account, follow both, please. Did a court actually rule that Erica was right and that the earrings were not purchased with client funds? First, some undisputed facts. In December 2020, Girardi and Girardi Keys were forced into involuntary bankruptcy, and the bankruptcy trustee who discovered a suspicious withdrawal from a client trust account that was supposed to go to diabetes patients for a lawsuit over a diabetes drug. This is not to get us to start talking about diabetes, but I'm sure that we're both tempted to. Ben, you willing to pass on that one? Me too.
Yeah.
Specifically, Girardi wrote a check from the client trust account for the diabetes patients for $750,000 payable to M&M Jewelers, which is that a coincidence how much we love M&Ms on this show? No. On March 2nd, 2007. After figuring out the earrings were purchased with client money from the trust account, the bankruptcy trustee asked Erica to turn them over. Erica refused. The bankruptcy trustee filed a motion for the earrings to be turned over, and the bankruptcy judge granted the motion. Then Erica filed an appeal. She lost the first time. She argued that the bankruptcy court is barred by the statute of limitations. Okay. So then second, she argued that the bankruptcy court failed to prove the earrings were the property of the bankruptcy estate. This is important because the bankruptcy court only has authority over property belonging to Tom Girardi or Girardi Keys. Are you following this? So this
no,
is basically
I'm not listening
her saying,
anymore.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. This was longer than I thought. I always think Instagrams are going to be shorter.
I you know what? Honestly, I wanted to be like, no, of course I'm listening. But honestly,
it's a lot. Let me just make it short. This is the end, okay? If the earrings were purchased entirely with money that never belonged to Girardi or Girardi Keys in the first place, the bankruptcy court may not have a claim to them. That's their argument. So since he stole that money from the victims, That money, those earrings were bought with victim's money, which was never his. So she shouldn't have to give the earrings back. That's some sick shit. Okay. So if you didn't listen to any other part, that was the main point. Sorry it took me so long to get there. I'll give it up now. Dropping the bone.
Actually, no, I do have, there actually was an item about one of the victims. So I am going to chime in with this. So one of the victims is named Lou, and that person is living with cancer. And so because of this whole situation, Lou and Lou's friends, they are planning to actually go to the Super Bowl. Before that, she gets a message from her oncologist. And then Betty is a math professor. That's one of her friends. They calculate they have a 0.0013% chance of winning a call-in contest to see the showdown between Brady's New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons.
You're an asshole. Oh, and by the way, I've just found out that you are not invited to that premiere party either. So thank you, the Bravo docket. Okay, so long and short of it, Erica's full of shit. So Crystal is, we see a clip of Crystal saying, those are dead people that money was stolen from. Those are facts. And Erica saying,
I need to watch the legal process play out.
So then Dorit's like, wow, what an amazing place to have a church, guys. Well done. Don't really understand the point, but what real estate?
Dorit is saying a lot of sort of like empty things. She's like, especially at the dinner party, she's like hilariously in her small talk mode. So now her being, what's an amazing place to have a church, you guys? Like, we'll be sure to relay that to the architect's great-great-grandchildren.
Location. Listen, one thing Christians and Jews have in common is the Old Testament. John 5:7. Location.
A, B, C. Always be churching.
So, meanwhile, here comes, like, Chris Shell. It's like, yo, a bad bitch. We're going to sell this church. It's my first listing in Spain.
I'm the smelly kid.
I was born in a Shell station.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So, Sutton is actually having a nice moment with Kyle. She's talking about her dad and everything, and it's Kyle is talking obviously about her friend Lorene, who also died by suicide very recently. And you know, Sutton's kind of comforting Kyle because Kyle is talking about how she spoke to a psychic, and the psychic said she saw Lorene and everything. And Sutton's kind of like, unfortunately, Kyle, you're just never going to get the answers. And it was like a very, very touching scene between the two of them.
Yeah, and Sutton's like, I'm sorry, I've been such a bad friend. And Kyle's like, no, you've been a good friend. I love you. And she's like, I love you. And Sutton says she hates fighting with Kyle, which is a shame because I love when you fight with Kyle. So listen, yeah. I just don't give it up completely. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say. And Kyle cares about Sutton a lot. And I was really hurt by all the questions she was asking about my marriage. And so I'm happy to accept her apology and move on, because Lord knows every magazine cover is already about me and Maurizio and Morgan Wade. So
so now they're going to go into Barcelona to sort of see the city a little bit more. And they also FaceTime. Crystal FaceTimes like Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie's like shocked by this, by the way. She's like, oh my God. Was not expecting this, because now, of course, Crystal loves Anne Marie. It's definitely like the Florence Nightingale effect, right? She's like obsessed with her now. She's FaceTiming her. And so she's on anti-nausea medication and feeling better. And so now we're seeing like Barcelona. We're seeing umbrellas hanging over a plaza or a street. We see architecture and Gaudi and the remnants and of America's Next Top Model runway show from many years ago.
Then we see something that will stop me going to Barcelona ever. I never want to go now. Even though this has been a beautiful place, I've loved the episode, the photography's been great. Fuck that place. Let me tell you why. Because we meet Manolo, the fucking tour guide, who can't just show you around a goddamn building. The guy has to stand there with a fucking guitar on his knee, singing at me. Shut up. I did not pay for your fucking karaoke, okay? What is this, the dueling piano? The fuck out of here. Show me where the mall is, sir.
I interrupt this podcast to present an announcement from the printer that is going off courtesy of my parents. So if you hear the sound of paper coming out, here it comes.
What is he printing?
Here it goes.
What is he constantly printing over there?
Page one.
What is it?
Page two.
What is it? Read it.
I don't. It's my. You know. It's either my mom or my dad. It's their work. It's my mom. It's my mom's work. So congratulations, everyone. We got a real life printout during the podcast. Surprise page just blurted out. Oh, hey, that last page just came vomiting out of the printer.
Alrighty, it's like trying to hurry so it can be done.
Well done, everyone. We got some pages for mom, who's probably going to come in here in about 30 seconds. So everyone, look forward to that.
So Manolo plays his music very bigly, and then they're asking his name, and he tells them Manolo, and Dorit's like,
"Come, Blonic, is that you? Can I put my foot in your mouth?"
Oh my, I'm cramping on the left side now.
Oh no. No more medicals.
Kyle's like, "Donde está Hermes?" Manolo's like, "I don't know." So, by the way, it's so funny because in my mind, Manolo was on stilts, but he wasn't. But in my mind, he was on stilts.
Manolo wasn't on stilts, but he was doing a thing like he plays his guitar by lifting his leg and then resting the guitar on his knee while his leg is in the air.
Yeah. He was giving stilt energy.
Yeah. He was giving stilt energy. Yeah. So he was doing that. And so Kyle's talking about how she just has to shop everywhere, guys. You should see me in a gas station. Like, I can do it, like, in 3 minutes. Like, I don't even care.
See?
So she has to know where the Hermes is. And so she finds the Hermes in every town that she's in. And then that's, like, her center of town. And then she can go.
So Kyle is, like, trying on this persona this season of, like, she loves to shop. As if that's any different from any other Real Housewife. And she's like for some people, if they did it, it's like fabulous. But with Kyle, it's like, this isn't quite working because you can't do the whole thing of like, oh my God, once I find out where the Hermes shop is, that's the center of town. But then you're also doing the, put me in a gas station and I can find anything in there. It's like, you're either doing the Hermes thing or you're doing the gas station thing, but you're not doing both.
Well, hers is that she's just a shopping addict, you know, so it's not... She's trying to, like, she's just putting the gas station in there because she also does Amazon Live. So she's like, I can't just unbrand myself, you know?
I'm sorry, Ronnie.
Is she printing? Is your mother writing a book?
Can you hear it?
Is your mother the new Danielle fucking Steele? What's going on?
Here we go. Another document just came out. Fresh document. I feel like I'm at a diner. Oh, hi, Mom. Welcome. No, it's okay. We've been documented. We've been.
Tell her we've been reading her fanfiction.
We've been announcing the documents as they pour out on the podcast. There you go. Bye.
The slow, unamused door creak.
I gotta love podcasting from home.
It's funny.
Could you hear my mom?
No, it was like Charlie Brown's parents.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Anyway.
No.
That was a mom cameo, everyone. Congratulations.
Okay, so now they go to lunch, and Anne-Marie is FaceTiming her kids and stuff. And she's like, hi, guys. Daddy, I can't see you. And they're like, Daddy doesn't want to be on camera, but he says you're a solid 8 today. She's like, oh, damn it. Well, tell him I've been stuck in the hospital all day. All right, he'll give you a 0.5 if you're good.
He's like, sorry, we're kind of breaking up. Unfortunately, the Wi-Fi here is only an 8.5, so I'll have to try in a different area.
So they're like, oh my God, you call your husband daddy? She goes, well, in front of the kids I do. I mean, geez. Because remember they had that lady who called her husband daddy and they were like, what a freak. Do you remember that happening on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Who was that? Carlton?
Who called their husband daddy?
It was a one-season wonder. It was someone who was barely around.
Jordan, was it Catherine?
I don't remember.
I don't think Catherine called Donnie daddy.
Someone called them daddy, and they're like, oh, my God, what a fucking weirdo. I think it was just a lady at a party that called her husband daddy. And Kyle was like, gross. Who calls her husband daddy? Because you know how Kyle gets mad at ladies at the party she thinks are flirting with Maurizio? I think it was one of those moments.
I don't think it's... I don't think it's crazy to call your husband daddy when you're like talking in front of the kids. That's my hot take for the day. I can't believe I don't get these premiere invites. So everyone, drinks are arriving and everything, and they're toasting to Crystal's health.
Thank you for not making me formulate an opinion on that. And I was like, my brain just stopped.
Do I have to make a stance on this? Is this where we're going to stop the podcast and talk? So Kyle is like, guys, it was like kind of interesting. It's so interesting how like you, Emery, and Crystal went last night to today. Isn't that like funny? And everyone's like, ha ha ha. Everyone's like, I know. And Emery's like, you know, I take my profession really seriously. And it's like really like a part of me. You know what I mean? And Erica's like, no. And I know you felt very bad about not being able to go with her and tell her things in her ears like, don't worry, you're about to die. Any last words?
And she's like, yeah, well, you know, it's like I felt horrible because Garcelle and I were talking this morning about her. And, you know, like calling me fake doctor and like the whole you're not a doctor thing. Like, that's hurtful. Are you a doctor? Why is it hurtful? Like, listen, when I try and go up to the front of the plane to get my airplane pins, my wing pins or whatever, which I still think I deserve.
I know where this is going.
And they tell me, you're not a pilot, sir. And do I cry? Sure, but I get over it. Because at the end of the day, I have to admit that they're true.
Yeah, I think, clearly what Amory interpreted Crystal saying was like, you're not a doctor, therefore you're worthless. But I think Crystal was saying, you said you were a doctor to me, but you're not a doctor. You lied. So I think they're interpreting things differently. So Erica's like,
well, I think that's all that. Like, quite honestly, it's in hindsight now. So, you know, remember that big fight? Remember how she, like, questioned your profession and, you know, said you were a liar and all that bullshit? Yeah, whatever. That's in hindsight. Because we can put things in hindsight. Now, who wants to give me an apology? Anyone?
You know, hindsight is best viewed through diamonds. Anybody? Anybody?
She's like, well, what's important now is that Crystal's okay. And Garcelle's like, I agree. And now I'm going to take this opportunity because Dorit and I had more than a hiccup. There was something about how you talked to me. It made me feel a certain way. Taco Tuesday was a really rough night.
Yeah, take it in isolation. That's a very funny sentence to say.
These shows fucking kill me. It's like, let's go into a talk about microaggressions. And let me intro that talk by saying, Taco Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday. I just felt like I left my body. But that was mainly Crystal's attempt at making Mexican food. So, Dorit said,
you know, when I said that, when I wasn't thinking about race. Yes, yes,
but
race.
I didn't want to say it. Could be a bad word.
Yes. I'm allowed to say race. And Erica's like, well, I know you weren't. You don't think about a lot of things, you dumb fuck. I'm drunk.
So Garcelle's like, yes, that's my whole point. She goes,
yes, no, but you called me a Karen. And I'm not a Karen. I'm more of a mermaid. How nice.
Well, I'm really glad that Garcelle didn't say, okay, you're not a Karen. Instead, she said, well, I don't think anyone here is racist. And I can just say, like, I don't think anybody here is racist, which implies you're still a Karen. Because you still are a Karen. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Dorita's definitely had enough, like, Karen stuff in her folder there. So she's like,
and that stuff, by the way, you can get past that and grow and change. You know what I mean? It's not like you have to be like that forever. In fact, please don't be like that forever. You know, it's okay. But
yeah. Geez. So Garcelle basically is like, look, I don't think anyone here is racist, but you know, there are certain things that make me feel a certain way. And like, my opinion is that you have lived a very sheltered life and you understand the walk and you don't understand the walk I've had to walk. I just want to say that. And Dorit's like, you know what? I really, really appreciate you saying that. And I want to learn and know about your plight. And just so you understand
In my little bubble is also a bubble of plight.
But she tells her story about, you know, her father being Israeli. And when she grew up, she lived in a town where they were the only Jewish people, and she got made fun of. And people would say anti-Semitic things to her and ask if she had horns in her head, stuff like that. So she's kind of like, you know, showing that, like, you know, she too has been the subject of discrimination. And then she says, like, look, I'm not trying to compare, but I just didn't think it was a totally fair characterization of me. And she says, you know, if there's anything that I ever do that triggers you, please let me know, because I don't ever want to do that.
And then Garcelle's like, you know, listen, thank you for sharing that, because it's really good to know. It's like,
well, you don't have to yell at me about it. I'm sitting right next to you.
You don't have to attack me.
All right, well, that was a good talk. Well, that was a good talk.
Seemed like we did well. But it actually was a good talk, because Dorit was able to share some of her perspective. Garcelle, like, felt more understood by Dorit. And then Garcelle says, like, you know, I know we talk about the Birkins and the bags and all the fashion, but this is the stuff that bonds us. Hearing the human experiences and the stories and things like that. That's what really makes us friends. You know, Kyle was like, so when do we go to Hermes? Are we going to go to Hermes soon? Anytime? Going to Hermes?
You know what really bonds people? Hermes. So
let's go to Hermes.
So Sutton announces that her friends are going to come over for dinner. And she says, Trevor, my friend of mine, since I was in my early 20s, he's going to join us, because we started with Merce Cunningham. And we started at the same time. And he moved to Barcelona a long time ago. But he's going to bring some architect friends. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I just want people to know there's just a part of me that's not just this, you know, alimony collecting, gala going, vodka drinking, esophagus closing, you know, let the mouse go, going.
Name him, naming wacky lady who loves karaoke. Okay. So it's time to go shopping. Or they're supposed to, like, be going to the next event, but then some of them, like Dorit and Kyle, see a fan shop, and Sutton's like, all right, well, you got 3 minutes to shop. So they all go nuts. You know, this is where Kyle's like, I can do stuff in 3 minutes. Trust me. You know, you should see me in a gas station. Do you know how easy it is for me to find something amazing in a gas station in 3 minutes? I'm like, well, go to fucking Bucky's and try her, like, there, bitch. Big. I'm just saying, it's a big gas station. It's a lot of stuff in there. It's a lot of stuff. It's gonna take.
You're gonna need more than 3 minutes. So Dorit's like, I have a really good eye. So in 3 minutes, I'll be able to see exactly what I like. Rip it up, pay for it, get it out. I've got 19 fans in my purse. They're 900 years old. Look, this one's of a spaceship. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Look at this one. This is from the Middle Ages. It's of a mouse with big ears. And it says 100-year anniversary. It's like, oh, that's just from Disney.
This is one from Jesus's tomb. It's got Beyonce's face on it.
Look at this one. 500 years old, artisanally made. Look, it's a little yellow creature with a lightning bolt tail named a Pikachu.
Actually, I loved her fans. I thought the fans were amazing. Also, now we can say Dorit has fans.
Aw, that's cute. Congrats, Dorit. I hate fans. I like air conditioners, okay? Fuck your fans. I raise you an air conditioner.
I'm not a fan gay. I know there's, like, at this point, I think about 90% of gays love doing the flop the fan open and do this thing, which I enjoy watching it. The thing is that I'm bad at it. So when I do it, it's clunky.
Yeah.
And
I think it's a sport, because we're both bad at it.
Yeah.
Fan.
Yeah. I just sort of move the fan from left to right. I don't actually open the fan. It, like, doesn't open up. And then, like, I'm not bad at fluttering the fan. So I'll just watch the fan. But yeah. I'm not going to actually get the fan. I'm not going to be a fan gay.
Yeah, I'm not a fan gay either. So Erica's like, okay, listen, love, we need to be budget conscious, and I get it, but it would be nice if someone walked in here with about $100 million right now.
I laughed right now at that. So they buy, and Kyle just buys, like, a ring that doesn't even fit her. She just buys it. So that's great. And now they go back to the house, and Crystal's like lying on the bed, and she's, you know, she's saying how her family has a history of high blood pressure and hypertension and something that she struggled with, and she didn't realize it could get to this point. And she's just like really, she's just like on the bed, and she's like very emotional and everything. And
I mean, look, there were a lot of people who were worried that Crystal wasn't going to do much this season, and guys, blood pressure. So,
well, just as she started to do something, her body was like, stop that. I also liked when, do you remember when they walked in and they're like, hi, Crystal. Hi, Crystal. And Eric goes, hi, Crystal. And someone goes, you're loud.
Because Eric is on one this whole episode. Like, who is this person? So, and Crystal's like, okay, guys, well, I'm back, but I have to take it easy. I'm not going to drink. Kyle's like, join the club. I'm not drinking. I wonder if everyone's going to accuse you of having an affair with a beautiful country star.
Erica goes, oh, God, the sober Susies. I mean, at least there's someone on Bravo who is, like, rolling their eyes at the huge amounts of probably very healthy sobriety that's happening.
Yeah, well, this whole cast is. I mean, Sutton's like, disgusting. Not drinking. She must be cheating.
I know. So glam squads arrive, and more glam squads. Garcelle's glam squad tells her that the paella is going to be very authentic. I'm like, I love that the glam squad is on the paella beat. Like, we just heard word on the street, this is authentic paella. So get ready.
And then Sutton is, she's like, this day has been crazy. And you know, it's because Mercury is in retrograde. Which I think is like everybody's mom's thing to say. Like, moms have finally figured out Mercury being in retrograde, and now it's suddenly the fault of fucking everything. It's like, my God, oh, you're traumatized by religion? Really? Well, Mercury must be in retrograde. My favorite, my mom thing that she just said again the other day was, I'm taking this online. Like, when she's mad at somebody for not getting the service she wants. Like, the lady at Dillard's pissed her off. I'm taking this online. Okay, so then Kyle tries to FaceTime Maurizio, and he keeps, the phone keeps going dead, and she gets mad at him for it.
Oh, yeah.
That's her season. You know, guys, they're very close to a divorce.
You know, a marriage is going south when reception's bad in a parking garage. It's like, oh, my God. Can't they ever work out their issues?
And then, okay, so now we get to the part I need you for, because you're intelligent and I don't have really? That so Erica's like, so now we have to entertain Sutton's friends, guys. She's talking to her makeup crew, Laya, etc. And has Laya always been part of her makeup crew? I thought Laya was her assistant. That's Laya, right?
I thought it was Laya, but I don't know. A lot of the glam and assistants look the same to me.
I think Laya has just had to learn new jobs over the year. It's like, you want to stay here? You're going to learn more jobs. Now put together the shelf and get my eyeshadow on. Not necessarily in that order.
Oh, can't say reliable without Laya.
So, well, I got my lashes put on. Unfortunately, there's also an L wrench glued to my eye. My big girl's still getting used. It's like, ow, my eye. She's still getting used to it. She actually put it on with Gorilla Glue, so it's going to be tough to get that off of there. Ow. Hold on, well, I'm going to do some warm-ups while I try and work this thing off my...
Well, so now we're going to have to entertain Sutton's friends out here with this paella cooking. And Sutton described them as erudite, E-R-U-D-I-T-E, erudite. Thank you very much. And anyway, it means sophisticated and educated. Whatever.
Dang, that's what I needed you for. Is that how you say it? And is that what erudite? It means?
Yeah. Erudite means, like, it is what they put up on screen, which is, it is, I don't know if the exact definition is sophisticated and educated, but it's basically, like, learned and...
Yeah, great knowledge or learning. I looked it up.
Yeah, having great knowledge or learning.
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila.
She's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary. It's the Green Fairy.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.